Welcome into the Ellie Hampton Show. I'm Ethan Chadwick. I'm here starting it out for Ellie because this is her first time here doing a podcast. But she's going to get good and she's going to kick me out of the starting position. So,
I think so.
So, Ellie, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. My name's Ellie.
And Ellie is big into mixed martial arts. And we're going to talk about that on here because she knows a lot about it. And this is going to be one of those rare moments when I know that I know less than the other person about a sport. So with that, today we're going to talk a little bit about grappling, right?
Yeah.
And we apparently have differing opinions upon on this. I am not a huge fan of grappling because it's super boring. But Ellie, on the other hand, is. Tell us why.
Well, I got into UFC from watching wrestling in high school. So I'm already on board with wrestling and grappling anyway. But I don't find it boring. I don't know why people get all up in arms about people just grappling instead of, I guess it's more entertaining seeing people just hit each other in the face. But I think grappling shows your skill better than your knockout power. I don't know, that might just be me. Why do you think it's boring?
I am not a huge fan of grappling because it's really slow and really boring. And, I mean, in my view, the purpose of, like, a fight is for it to be, like, full of action. I mean, if you have a fight where people are just hugging each other, it doesn't feel like a fight, and it's less interesting to me. Though I will say that, I mean, I'm not big into just watching people fight each other. But no. But if I'm like watching like a fighting sport, such as like boxing, I mean, I like them to actually like have more action, I guess. So that's kind of why I am not huge in the grappling.
Sure.
Plus, I mean, as I was talking to you before we started recording, I was watching a fight night one time, and it was like the slowest fight ever because the one guy was just holding on to the other guy for, I swear it was, how long are their matches?
So it depends. There's three rounds and they're each 5 minutes long if it's just a regular fight. But if it's a championship fight, it'll be 5 rounds, 5 minutes each.
Okay, so I think it wasn't a championship round, I don't think. So I'm thinking that it was probably, it was like, went into the third round and it was just like super slow the whole time and it was way boring.
Yeah. See, I feel the same way if they were grappling the whole time. I mean, MMA is about showing your different strengths, so you should be grappling and, you know, striking and everything. So I can understand that. And it depends kind of on what division you're watching. Like if you're watching the heavyweights and they're grappling, that's it's a little harder to watch.
I don't think
watch.
Many heavyweights go for grappling.
Yeah, so. No, that's they kind of they more just lay around and hang on to the other guy. But if you're watching like if you're watching flyweights grapple, it's still action packed. They're really energetic and they're, you know,
yeah,
just throwing the other around.
At least the one that I watched wasn't really very energetic.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I mean, all it was is the one guy was like hanging on the other guy's back, and the guy who was in the front who was trying to get out of it. Mm-hmm. He kept just like punching like next to his head, like at the other guy. And it was like so slow and boring. And
yeah.
I was like,
and see, most people boo at that point. People in the crowd will start booing the fight.
Yeah, I think they did actually.
Yeah, when it's too slow going. Well, and see, sometimes the ref will call it a standstill. They'll make you start over if it's too boring and if nothing's happening from it. So usually if it gets to that point, they'll stop it and they'll start you over. So
yeah, I think that, I mean, I'm totally in agreement that it is like an important part of fighting to be able to like submit someone.
Right.
But I feel like you should be able to do other stuff too.
Right.
And so when you're just doing that the whole time and it slows everything down and it's just super boring. But like if you're fighting and you end up getting a position where you can't submit someone,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's great as long as you don't like break their arm because that would suck. but I don't like when that's all you're doing is just trying to submit them even though it'll take you forever to do it.
Right. And see, that bothers me too. That's like I said, I like to see them show their striking power and their grappling and, you know, all of their everything that they can do, and that's what they should be doing in a fight. They should stick to the things they know best, like Ronda would stick to her judo and immediately try to take them down and armbar them. So like you should be doing that, but also it's being well-rounded in your fighting skills. So I agree that it shouldn't all be grappling, That one fight at UFC 200, it was Daniel Cormier and Anderson Silva. And that one was booed a lot because Daniel Cormier basically just sat down on him and and grappled him the whole time. And it was a really slow going fight. And they mostly just like hung on to each other for the whole time. And see, I don't love that, but see, like people got to stick to what they're good at. Like Daniel Cormier is an Olympian wrestler, so of course he's gonna wrestle. But it's kind of less enjoyable to watch.
But like, even with grappling, like in that situation where you just like sit down on him, it doesn't even feel like it's like wrestling,
right?
Because wrestling, you're still like jockeying for position, whereas it seems like with grappling, they're just kind of holding on to the person and not doing a whole lot.
Yeah.
Until the other person makes a mistake.
Yeah. That doesn't feel like wrestling. Right. So when they're like grappling up against the fence and things like that, like that's probably the hardest part of a fight. Like that's draining and that's difficult to try to get the upper hand in that. And you might slip up and make a mistake. But I think it's really important. And I think it's more telling of how, you know, champion material that fighter is if they can, you know, be able to control that for so long, because that's pretty tough fighting right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a champion ought to have a well-rounded fighting.
Yeah, like, obviously.
Be well-rounded in their fighting.
Sure.
Because that's the cool thing about, you know, UFC and MMA is, like, you have several different types of fighting that people use.
Yeah.
And maybe one is your best, right. But I think that it would be, like, it's in your best interest to be able to do multiple ways. Because, say, I mean, with Ronda Rousey, when she got beat the first time, mm-hmm. you know, she was in a situation where her style didn't work against her opponent.
Yeah.
And when you can only go to that one style, I think that, I mean, that's very detrimental to yourself.
Right.
As shown that she lost. I mean, mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
About her losing? Is that what we're talking about now?
I mean, I think that we can probably get to that, but no, I was meaning, how do you feel about like having multiple different ways you can go at a fight as a fighter?
Well, kind of like you said, and how we've kind of been talking about it this whole time, is like you should be well rounded in it's mixed martial arts. Like you should have a good mix of fighting styles. Yeah, exactly. So like people come in and Ronda, like you said, knows judo better, and some people know karate better. Like GSP knew karate better. Daniel Cormier is a wrestler. So things like that, they should stick to what they know they're good at and try to aim for that, because that's not bad. It's not bad for Ronda to always go in there and want to just throw them and armbar them immediately, because that's where they know they're gonna get it. But also when you know you're gonna go into the ring against a striker like Holly Holm or Amanda Nunes, like you should probably be training on that. You should probably have pretty good skills in that as well. So I don't think you can be a champion and not be well-rounded in each, you know, fighting style.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there probably have been some. I mean,
yeah. I mean, Ronda was,
Ronda Rousey was, she was champion for a
long time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she's just got the one style from what you've been saying.
Yeah, and it's kind of the sport, especially in women's, has kind of evolved to where everyone's more up to speed, and we're getting a lot more people who are wanting to be in the UFC who are women, and they're really good fighters, and they're all well-rounded. So getting her out of there it's just the curve of how things are going. People are just an influx of female fighters. So
yeah, and that's an interesting thing, is like how people can adapt and change things. I mean, she was Ronda Rousey was so dominant for so long.
Yeah,
and she's like lost her last couple fights.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, are you a Rousey fan or not?
I am. I love Ronda.
Okay, because I was trying to remember who it was, but somebody else who I'm Facebook friends with, like, always loves when Ronda Rousey loses.
I know, and a lot of people have that opinion, and a lot of my friends have that opinion. They just know they can't talk to me about it because it'll hurt my feelings. No, I'm just kidding. But
I mean, regardless of whether someone is a fan of her or not, they have to recognize what she was able to do.
That's why there's UFC so many female fighters now. Exactly.
The female side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I will admit that I'm not a huge fan of watching women fight each other.
Mm, sure. They're kind of more brutal, it tends to be.
I don't like seeing women beating up on each other. I don't like it.
Okay.
I would say that it's better, at least mostly for UFC, than it would be for, like, boxing. But I mean, because
I haven't watched a lot of boxing.
I haven't either. I haven't watched a lot of either, but I just the image of two women just punching each other's faces for a long time just doesn't appeal to me at all.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not huge on like women's UFC. Not that I've been huge on UFC in general, because I haven't gotten into it as
well,
even close to what you got into a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not even close to your level on that. But even with that, I assume that it's a little bit better to watch a UFC fight between women than a boxing match between women. Just because I don't think it's quite as violent. I don't know. I really don't like seeing like violence like that with women.
Right. I can see that.
It's kind of like, I really don't like seeing like on movies or whatever, like a woman being hit. Like,
yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay.
So, I mean, so I guess, how do you feel about it?
Particularly the women's UFC?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, okay. I obviously, I don't mind it. It used to be, when I first was getting into it, I thought it was kind of weird that there was a women's division. Like, it kind of scared me a little bit. The ladies who are who are in women's UFC are pretty, like, I don't even know how to describe them. They're intense and they're scary people. And so the fights with the women's UFC seem to be more brutal. But now that they have more fighters, and now that I've, I don't know, I don't want to say got used to it, because like I didn't mind it so much.
You got desensitized?
Yeah, exactly.
I no longer have a problem with watching women beat the crap out of each other.
And a lot of them, like not most of them are like strikers, you know?
Yeah.
So like Holly Holm was a striker because she came from boxing.
Yeah.
And Amanda Nunes is a striker. She's got some heavy fists. But I think most of them tend to have a little bit more mixed fighting background. So, like, they're all good at wrestling and they're all good at, you know, judo and things like that. So it doesn't bother me when they start doing that. It's hard to see anyone take a punch, really. So, like, if you see anyone take a really, really hard hit, that's kind of rough. But the way I've been seeing it with UFC and everything, like, a lot of people don't really like UFC for that reason. They're like, it's bloody. People are hitting each other in the face. It's kind of brutal. I don't know why you'd enjoy that. But I don't know why it's different for me. It's a sport where people can, you know, show their talent, and they can show that it's just a regular sport. Like, I don't think that it's, when it gets to be trash talking and things like that, like, sure, it's kind of rude and kind of street fightish.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're just pairing up the best of the best, you want to see who's the best fighter. It's actually amazing techniques that people have, and people have trained their whole lives for these things. And so I don't have a hard time watching people take hits, and I don't have a hard time watching, you know, women hit each other.
Must be, since from what you post on Facebook, I assume that you watch a lot of UFC.
Yeah, I they're expensive. So
yeah.
I don't watch them every time, but
I mean, but sometimes, like, well, as far as fight nights, probably. But
yeah,
there's also times that they have them on, like,
sure,
Fox Sports One.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, I watch it every time, every chance I get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, and we still haven't done a UFC party because
I know
you never invite me.
I know.
I assume that you're still having them.
No, I've not. We haven't had. I've been trying to put together a UFC party. It took me a while to get people to get into it. Like, it took me a little while to get my roommates to even come to Buffalo Wild Wings with me to watch them. And then eventually they liked them. And then I got people in the office to want to watch them. So I've had, like, maybe two UFC fights. But they're expensive. And I would feel bad having, like, a big party of people, like, everyone from the office. Because, you know, you got their pay-per-view. So, like, if you pay for it and then have a bunch of people come, like, I don't know if that's is that a bad thing?
Why would it be?
I don't know.
You're paying to view it.
You're paying to view it. But then, like,
it's just like buying a movie and,
I guess,
like, having
kind of
a movie watching party.
The thing that bothers me, I don't know why they're so expensive. Like, they're making tons of gate. And I don't know why they're, like, still $60 a fight.
Because people are paying for it.
Yeah, that's true. It's
capitalism in action.
Popular. Yeah, if it was cheaper, people would want to watch it. It would seem less appealing.
I don't know. I think people would watch it more, but I think that they're making, like, they have enough people watching it.
Yeah.
That
they
gotta
make
feel the need.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's an economic
thing. Yeah,
I
think that they are. I don't know. From offhand, like, only not paying attention a lot to it, I kind of feel like they are moving towards doing them all free, because I feel like more and more there's like fights that you don't have to pay for.
Yeah, they're getting really good at putting like the prelims on Fox Sports 1. And then as soon as you get to the main card, you have to buy it, which is not that, it's not a bad gig. You know, yeah. There's still really good prelims and, you know, you can record them. You can record the fight after you've bought it, but it's,
yeah,
it's worth it.
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, you can also just go to Buffalo Wild Wings and
yeah, you basically pay the same amount if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings for 5 hours, you know, in your tip, which it's kind of fun. The atmosphere at Buffalo Wild Wings, watching it with people, is pretty cool.
It is interesting because you end up with people on both sides. And
yeah, I've like almost got into a couple fights, I'm not going to lie.
So Ronda Rousey is your favorite female fighter.
Oh, is that correct? No? Yeah, she's been my favorite for a long time.
Okay, what about the other side? What about men? Like, who's your favorite, or do you have one?
My ultimate fighter is George St. Pierre. He's been retired for a while now, but he's my favorite.
All right, how about current?
Oh, current Cody Garbrandt. I've been a fan of since he started, and he's fought his way to the top, and now he's champion. So he's my favorite right now. I haven't even heard of him. You have, yeah. No, he's. I gauge my liking of someone as to like how much I would actually want to buy a fight that they're on, or like buy their gear. Like, I have Cody Garbrandt and Ronda Rousey T-shirts at home. They're my favorite.
Bandwagon.
No, just kidding. Bandwagon. No, see, Cody Garbrandt, I liked him when he first started. His story is awesome. He's friends with this little boy who had leukemia, and they made a pact together that if he kept fighting through leukemia, that he would keep fighting and become champion. And he's not lost. His record, I think he's not ever had a loss. So he's amazing. And I'm not gonna lie, he's tweeted me back a few times and Snapchatted me back a few times. So we're kind of. Kind of a big deal. But yeah, he's one of my ultimate.
Do I get to go to the wedding?
Yeah, Cody Garbrandt, if you're listening. He totally has a girlfriend, I'm so sorry, but
and you're not about being a side hoe.
No, none of that. I'll find a single one.
So I guess, who are some fighters that you just can't stand?
Oh dear, I could go on for days.
I may
days.
Have opened a can of worms here.
Yeah, you may have. I tend to not like, I shouldn't be so emotional about the Ronda Rousey thing, but I am. So the ones that have been horrible to her, I don't appreciate them. So I don't like, I don't know how to say her name. They say it really weird, but I've always pronounced it Beth Correa.
Oh, okay.
They call her name. They call her Betch Correa. I don't know how that's how you, maybe that's how you pronounce it. I should probably learn how to pronounce someone's name before I
probably,
insult them, but I don't
like her.
Probably,
supposed to be the expert here.
Every time that they read someone's name, I'm like, oh, I've been saying that wrong my whole life.
Yeah, so...
So I don't really like her.
Yeah, what did she say about Rousey that bugged you the most?
When she just got into her fight with Ronda, I just don't like people who trash talk. Like, I appreciate the sport, and I want, like, a clean fight. It's like... just to see who's the best. It's not that big of a deal. I don't think trash talk is needed to sell a fight. It's talent is needed to sell a fight. So she went in and she said a lot of things about Ronda and her family and just like really terrible things. So I didn't like her from the get-go. And then everyone that was like celebrating after Ronda lost her first time, like, okay, you didn't beat her either. So I think it's cute that you're celebrating on Twitter about Ronda losing when you couldn't beat her either. So I didn't like her. I don't super love Miesha Tate either, or Chris Cyborg. Basically all of the women who just talk Ronda.
So apparently, I mean, you want to be BFFs with Ronda, and anyone who messes with your BFF.
I don't know.
She's going down.
I mean, I respect her and I like her. She's kind of been going through, you know, hard time with her losses and everything, and I don't really appreciate the way she's taken that, but I still like her. I would feel like a traitor if I was like, man, I love her, I buy all her t-shirts, and then as soon as she loses, I'm like, yeah, I don't like her.
That,
I still
definitely
like her. That
would be a clear
like
bandwagon yeah. move, so no, that's good that you're not doing that.
I definitely still love her.
that is good. I'm glad that you're you're cheering for someone doesn't just disappear the moment they lose.
Right, I don't think it should.
I think we have too many people out there that are like that.
Yeah, I think that's...
I mean, it's
what's,
usually...
What's fun about that?
I don't know. But it's like, I mean, it seems like every year you have tons of new fans for like whatever team is winning in like the NFL or the NBA. Yeah. You had suddenly had a ton of Golden State fans when they were playing really well and then they won the championship and they're like, oh yeah, I've been a Golden State fan for years.
I don't know. I don't get the bandwagon thing.
So I don't get it either. I mean, I've cheered for the Broncos in football for my whole life. Mm. I've cheered for the Spurs since I was 8. And I decided at that point that I didn't want to just cheer for the Jazz because my parents were. Mm. And so I looked around and I liked the Spurs uniform. Uh-huh. And so I was like, oh, I want to cheer for them. And they've been really good also. I mean, that wasn't why I started cheering for them. Right. But
see, that's
been a nice bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
The Jazz are my number 2 team.
Oh, okay.
So, I still like the Jazz.
I was going to get mad at you for
a second.
I will
cheer for them against anyone except the Spurs.
Okay.
So, I like them as well, but my team is the Spurs.
Mm. See, that's fine. It's respectable.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people get a little overboard with their hype about the Jazz.
You think? Maybe.
I'm sure you can think of at least one person who gets really excited about the Jazz.
I definitely can. A couple come to mind.
One in particular?
You can't not. This Lots is of where puppies. We live, dude.
No, like I'm excited for them. They've been playing really well.
Yeah.
And we could keep talking about this, but we're talking about UFC.
Oh, it's okay. I went to my first Jazz game a couple weeks ago. Shout out to Tommy for taking me, but it was pretty cool.
That was who I was talking about.
Yeah. That he's overboard?
A little bit sometimes.
No.
You know he is.
No.
We'll have to talk about this later.
Okay. But anyway. See, but that's how I feel about – I think that Cody gained a lot of fans now that he's a champion.
Yeah.
But he's mine, guys. I've been a fan of him since he started.
Dibs. I called dibs.
But
it's like,
yeah.
It's like on How I Met Your Mother when Barney called dibs on this girl that Ted was like working up the courage to go talk to. And it like flashed forward in the future at this like wedding day when Ted is going to marry this girl. And then the guy's like, if anyone objects, like,
yeah, he's whatever. Like, I called dibs.
And Barney's like, I called dibs. And she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
And everybody was like, terrible stuff. It's so funny, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of what I just pictured.
Everyone comes out of the woodwork when they become champion, like, no.
Ellie just stands up with a megaphone. I called dibs.
I called dibs. Exactly. That's exactly how it goes.
So, for anyone listening, Ellie has dibs.
Thank you. Cody Garbrandt.
And you can't stop the dibs.
Nope. It's a legally binding thing.
That's pretty much what it was saying in that episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly.
So one fighter who gets a lot of attention on the men's side.
Oh, dear.
I think that you're not a huge fan.
All right, let's hear
it. And I want you to guess who I'm talking about.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah. I knew you would know who I was talking about.
Yep, straight up.
How do you feel about Conor McGregor?
I've kind of always liked Conor McGregor, too. So
I thought you didn't like
him. No. Sometimes I'm like, man, you're a little overboard. But I like him. I think that he's entertaining. He can back up his talk. I know that he talks a lot, and he's kind of rude. But... He's a good fighter, so, you know, what
And that's the thing, like, that I've seen. I like him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for Ireland. So.
Exactly. We'll see. So
because, like, I have ancestors from there, and I've always liked Ireland. I need to figure out how to talk in an Irish accent. Mm. Also a Scottish one.
Just watch some Conor McGregor. You can hardly understand him sometimes.
Sometimes. But, yeah, the thing that you said that, like, it sticks out, really, is that he is... I mean, he talks a lot, and people will say he's cocky, but I don't think it's that. I think he's just confident.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and a lot of his fights, I think he's won them before the fight has even started just because he gets in the head of his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And then like he tells him, like, I'm gonna own you.
I think that that's half of it. I think that's half of a fight is if you can just go in there. You cannot go into a fight thinking that you're going to lose. Like, you can't walk into there, like, with a slight chance, like, oh, I might lose to them.
Yeah.
Like, then you're definitely going to lose to them.
For sure.
But he's a confident dude.
Yeah, he is. And he backs it up as well. And, I mean, with all sports, like, a bunch of it is mental.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you go into a game thinking you're going to lose, you will, as you're saying.
Exactly.
I mean, for example, when I was in high school, there was this other team that was in our conference. And they had a really dominant basketball team. They won the state championship 4 years in a row. like all 4 years I was in high school. But anytime we played them, like I swear everyone on my team went in believing we were going to get destroyed. Mm. And we did, because everyone was playing poorly because they were expecting to lose.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think that totally holds true for, you know, every sport, and especially fighting, because with fighting, like, you're controlling, like, everything.
Yeah, it's
like,
all on you.
It's on you. It's an individual thing. You can't blame anyone but yourself if you lose. Oh, yeah, definitely. And so if you go in there believing you're going to play, you're going to fight really well and you're going to win, there's a good chance you are, because you got to believe in it.
Yeah.
So, and I really admire that about him. He's very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he gets overboard with his trash talk, but he believes what he says.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think part of it is him just trying to sell fights. You know, that's why people trash talk. They think it'll, you know, draw more attention to their fight and sell more pay-per-views, which is fine. It works. Like, Connor makes, he's made the most money as a fighter, and he's made the most pay-per-view and, you know, gate for the UFC. So it works, clearly.
Yeah. It does. And he's had a lot of success as well. And
yeah, and like, I think he's a great guy. He came from, I think he was a plumber before.
That's
and he
awesome.
And he works, like, he actually puts in the work and in training and everything. And he's dedicated his whole life to it. So I think he deserves his success, and I think he's all right.
Yeah. And to tie things back into kind of our starting topic with grappling, who are some of the better grappling fighters, and who is, like, your favorite person that does a lot of grappling?
Most of my favorites are, you know, well-rounded in everything they do. They don't specifically go for a lot of submissions. But Matt Hughes is one of my all-time favorites, too. He's not in the sport anymore. But he's on record for the most submissions in the UFC too, so he does a good job with that. There was one fight night though that I thought of just a second ago of the best submissions in this fight night. I don't remember what fight night it was. Like, it wasn't like a numbered UFC fight. You know, that's different. But this one was back in August, and it was, the main card was Anthony Pettis and, oh my gosh, Charles Oliveira. I don't know how to say his last name. But Charles Oliveira he's a submission artist. Like, that's what he does. And Anthony Pettis submitted him, and it was amazing. So Charles Oliveira is really good. Anthony Pettis, I think he got him in a guillotine. So that was really impressive to see him choke out a submission artist. That was great. I think who else?
That was great.
And in that same night, so that the main card was Carlos Condit, and I don't know how to say this guy's name either. I can't say his name. But
I'll look it up and see.
Yeah. He's also an excellent submitter. And that was actually a sad day, because he submitted Carlos Condit. He's Maya. How do you say his first name?
Demian Maya.
Yeah. See, I can never pronounce any of their names. It's kind of difficult. But anyway, he's great.
It might be Jamian.
Maybe.
Because with Brazilian Portuguese, you start out with, if it starts with a D, usually it's a J, I think. Yeah.
Oh, see, and I never know until Bruce Buffer says their name, usually. I'm like, waiting, oh, I've been saying that wrong in my head my whole life. So he's a really good submitter, actually. But seeing him choke out Carlos Condit was not my favorite thing.
It was not?
No, I love Carlos Condit.
So it's funny that, I mean, I don't know if this is you just trying to prove that you've been a fan of UFC for a while, but you're like, oh, I really like this guy that's not doing it anymore, and I like this guy that's not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been watching UFC.
I feel like you're just trying to cover it up. I think you actually just got into UFC about a year ago.
And yeah,
you're just
right.
Picking, like... You know, he was a legend.
Uh-huh.
I've watched this for years.
No, he's a legend. They're
Michael
both
Jordan
legends.
Was the best. I watched him for years.
Nah, that's different. I won't pretend to know what I'm talking about
with
basketball.
I was six about the time he retired. So,
See, so I've been watching it since Cody Garbrandt was in. I've been watching it since TJ Dillashaw was the former champion. So I've been watching it. I think I got really into it in 2013 is when I started, like, actually learning who people were. So
Did you get into it? What drove you to it?
So like I said, I was the wrestling mat maid in high school. So I was the one who was like,
mat made.
I would clean up the blood and stuff. And like,
yeah.
I would like write down the points and like, and watch like who got a reversal or who got a, you know, near fall, things like that. So that kind of got me into wrestling. And then my family would always, like my dad would always have fight nights with like buddies. And so we'd go and watch it. And I never really like got way into it, but I liked hearing like the technicalities of it. And I enjoyed it. And I knew some people's names, but it wasn't until like I came up to Logan and I, you know, I was like, oh, I can go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch UFC by myself now.
All the time.
And so, so yeah, I think that's when I got into it. So like, I don't, like I said, I don't know the history of it. I can't like easily recall old fights and things like that, but yeah, I'm kind of
but
into
anything
it,
in like the last almost 4 years,
mm-hmm.
you got that down.
Yeah. Yeah. I can pretty well recall the ones that I've watched, I think. So.
You
so like
think,
that fight that, that
sure.
fight night in August was I mostly remember the gutting ones. So like when Ronda lost or like when Carlos Condit lost. I did cry a minute, I'll tell you that. I probably shouldn't. I'm not very cool. I shouldn't be saying on this that I cried. But it was a sad day for sure. It's definitely really sad. The second time she lost, I was like, nope, she's broken my heart before. I don't feel that bad. Like, I know how to go through this. But
it's kind of like the last Christmas I gave you my heart, and yeah. this year I gave it to someone else, so you couldn't
exactly.
break it again.
You can't break my heart.
Can't
again,
break
Rhonda.
My heart again, Round.
I've already invested my heart in someone else
Rousey.
Now.
I said, I combined Ronda and Rousey to Roundy.
It's okay. It's Ronda it's Rousey. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. So
okay, well,
kind of
close.
A tongue twister. Say that five times fast.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Rowdy Ronda. I can't even do it twice. Now your turn.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey, Rowdy Ronda Rousey, Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Oh, dang it. I lost it.
Hey, you, at least you got to the third one before you messed up. I couldn't get past number two, so. But yeah, so what are some fights you're excited for coming up?
You know, I kind of seen all of the ones that I was really looking forward to.
Oh, so we're done. We're good future.
That's it. We're done.
We're good.
No. So like after UFC 200... which was kind of a letdown, to be honest. 200 kind of really sucked.
I didn't actually watch it, but
it was awful.
Heard it wasn't that great.
No, it was supposed to be
several bad matchups.
Yeah, it was supposed to be some monumental, like,
and then
amazing,
someone got in trouble for doping.
Well, so they brought back Brock Lesnar. You probably know him, even
I've
if you
heard
don't.
Of him,
yeah, even
I've
if you don't know
him
UFC,
and he looks ridiculous.
Because he went from UFC to WWE, and then they brought him back. He was like some big grand reveal for UFC 200 that he was coming back, but he came back so quick. I feel like that they didn't really test him. He's definitely on a lot of steroids.
Didn't they find that out though?
Yeah, they found that out after, like after the big.
Say, like,
I think they would have known that was going to happen, but they wanted him there to get like a bigger audience of like WWE people. Like they wanted to make it a bigger deal, but it wasn't.
I can't stand WWE.
I can't either.
I mean, it's not completely fake in the sense that they do actually, like, get hurt and stuff.
Right. The choreography is hard.
But, but why not just, like, go for something legitimate instead of this made-up scenarios
and
all that?
Yeah, it's kind of entertaining. It's entertaining sometimes when you're like, yeah, let's just watch. It's like watching a soap opera,
I guess. Really surprised the other day at Walmart. I saw, like, a bunch of different WWE things, like, there. And I was like on the DVD section, like, there was a bunch of, like, former fights.
Sure.
And I was just like... People are buying this?
People are super into it. I don't know that mindset. I don't know if people like believe that it's actually happening or if people
I sure hope they
just
don't.
Get into it because
it's
I could get into it if I wanted
I mean,
to just be like
it, I'm sure it's entertaining, but I sure hope people don't think it's real.
Yeah. I hope not. And see, some of them have transferred, you know, from WWE to UFC. Like some of them actually they probably actually have to do some of that training. They do choreography.
I mean, and
they
obviously
work out.
They're jacked, they work out and all that, but as far as the actual fights, it's not
right.
It's not like one person both guys have an equal chance at winning.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
it's
not
already
the same thing.
Staged for someone to win.
Yeah. Yeah. So. We'll see. So they brought back Brock and then CM Punk is now he's now in the UFC. I don't know. Do you know who CM Punk is?
Nope.
I didn't know of him either because I don't watch WWE.
Yeah, I don't either. And the only reason why I knew about Lesnar was because I was paying attention to UFC at that time.
Yeah, because 200 was supposed to be a big deal, and it so wasn't. And then so they interviewed.
And who was it that got like had to drop like the week before or something?
Oh yeah, you're right. Somebody had to drop. Who was it? Did they miss weight or something? I. totally don't remember. It was
I thought that you got in trouble for doping.
No, that was Brock got in trouble for doping.
Well, I know, but I thought it was somebody else that was before and they found
out. Anderson Silva, I think he got tagged, but I think that was after too. I'm not sure. You think of that. But because Anderson Silva still fought. I don't remember who was the actual main event. I think Daniel Cormier and Anderson Silva were the main event. But I might be recalling wrong.
No, Tate and Nunez were the main event.
Oh.
So.
You're right. Wow. That's
it crazy. Was going to be someone else, and then the person dropped. I don't remember who it was, though. I
mean, because Anderson Silva, he stepped up like 10 days before the fight. Right. Yeah. Okay. Because Daniel Cormier was supposed to fight Jon Jones. Is that who it was?
That sounds right. Yeah.
That's exactly. Okay.
That's who it was. I remember talking to you about it.
Yeah. They were supposed to have a rematch, and he got in trouble. Was it doping?
I think it was, if I remember right.
Why can I not remember? Like, that's the most interesting story is the Jon Jones garbage that goes on.
Right?
Yeah, that's the worst. Everyone wants to see them fight again, but he just cannot get his crap together to do it.
Yeah, and we've now confirmed that it was Jon Jones was in trouble for doping.
Yeah, so you were right.
Yes.
You're right.
This might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity right here. And that I was right about something with UFC that Ellie was not.
Enjoy it for the moment.
I will enjoy it for a long time, probably. Because this isn't going to come back around, I don't think.
No, it's not. I'll read up before her next one.
But yeah, I didn't see anything about Silva getting in trouble for it. I don't think he got in trouble for anything. I mean, it didn't say anything in the thing I was just looking at.
I swear. So after he fought
Lesnar, because they found out afterwards,
right? So
but Lesnar, I think
the same happened with him and Silva. So they both kind of stepped up to fight just days before UFC 200. So they didn't exactly get tested, or at least they got tested and they didn't get their results back in time. So after the fact, I think they both got their news that like they were flagged from.
See, I can't find anything about Silva getting flagged, but.
So what I heard. Do you want me to tell you? I heard. I saw this thing about Anderson Silva getting flagged for performance enhancers, but it was actually that he had to announce that he was taking prescription for ED. Okay. So as embarrassing as that is, like he had to say, "Oh, I'm already taking something that could have that with the switch with the USADA with their screening policy. Like they've stepped down on."
Clamp down.
Sure, that's good. So they've kind of been more strict about it.
I don't see how step down works in that situation.
Oh, you're right. Stomped on. Nope, I don't know. Put your foot down.
Cracking down.
Put your foot down. That's what works. I was thinking of. That's what the step down.
I mean, that's kind of the same thing, but it definitely means something different. Imagine someone trying to like translate this from English and
They're like what?
What's going on?
We're all saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
No, they had to put their foot down for some of the things that they were taking. They added more drugs to their list of like getting flagged for potential enhancing drugs. So that put off some red flags for his condition apparently, and that's embarrassing to have to announce.
Yeah, that I remember would that be being quite a thing.
It could be me spreading false news like I do.
Hey, you'd be perfect for the Woke Report.
See, I'm
except we're deliberately saying fake stuff and yeah anyway,
you see I actually believe it, so
yeah, I mean that's the difference. I mean we know that what we're saying is definitely wrong,
right.
And we don't want you to believe it either, so so yeah, we're gonna jump in and now I'm gonna get your feelings about upcoming matches, stuff you're excited for. I mean, I know we joked that we're done because all the ones you were excited for have already passed.
They're gone.
But yeah, just what's coming up?
See, I'm just scrolling through.
And how
here
do you
looking.
Feel about them?
So the next fight night is February 4th, which fight nights, I don't know if everyone knows this already, but so there's fight nights and then there's UFC, like, I don't know how to call them any different, but they're the legit fight nights that are going to be pay-per-view. So fight nights are usually on FS1.
So maybe like main events?
Yeah, so...
or special events?
Maybe like actual events. I don't know how you call them. So those are the ones that are actually numbered. So UFC 200. So the next one that's coming up is UFC 208, and that one's February 11th. But there's two fight nights in between then, and like some of the good people that are coming up. So the next fight night on the 4th, Ovince St. Preux is fighting, and he's really cool. He just barely fought Glover Teixeira, and Glover Teixeira has been in the game for a long time, and he's amazing, and he totally just knocked him out. So Ovince St. Preux is really, he's a good person to be watching, to be up and coming. So that one's good. The fight night after that, I can't say I know anyone from this card, I don't think. And then fight night 208 is going to be pretty cool, I guess. So that's Holly Holm. She went up a division. So she's fighting, I don't know how to say her name, but forgive me, DeRandamy. DeRandamy?
DeRandamy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the best word.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I was trying to pronounce it earlier.
It's close.
DeRandamy?
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting fight, because so Holly she beat Ronda, right, when she first came in. Ronda was her second fight in the UFC, maybe third, I can't remember. So she's kind of brand new. She held the belt for a minute and then couldn't hold on to it. I think, who was it? Misha Tate that beat her. So then she decided to move up a division. So now she's in the featherweight division. So that will be exciting. She's technically number two. So she's going to fight Jermaine DeRandamy. She's ranked 10. So that will be an interesting fight. Everyone else on that card, I don't really recognize either.
And if Ellie doesn't recognize them,
man,
that's weird.
I gotta pay more attention to these up-and-comers because they're good still. Got a lot of new faces. And then after that, so they usually have a couple fight nights in between every like event. So then there's a fight night in between then, and then UFC 209 is on March 4th. And that's Tyrone Woodley and Thompson, Wonderboy. That'll be a good one.
So who's a fighter? Just pick one fighter who is up and coming that you think people should pay attention to.
Okay. So I kind of am in the mindset, though, of thinking of the up-and-comers that I was thinking of when I first started getting into this. So, like, I would have probably said Max Holloway and Rose Namajunas, but they're both already been in the UFC for a few years now, and they're doing really well. So who I would choose as just the one, if I had to choose just one, which apparently I do.
One for today.
For today.
We'll get Ellie's favorite up-and-comers from time to time here in the show.
I'll give you my hot takes. I cannot pronounce his name.
Jair Rodriguez.
He's a new up-and-comer. He's only 24. He's in the featherweight division. He just barely had a fight last month, and he's doing really well. So I think that he's going to be a good one to watch. He'll probably be up in the championship one of these days. Yeah. This is what I'm predicting.
And in the fight that was on the 15th, he won versus BJ Penn, and it was actually,
which is amazing.
He was given the award of the performance of the night. Mm. So that's interesting.
So when you're recognized for that, big deal.
Yeah. So check him out. You heard it here first from the great and wonderful Ellie Hampton.
And Ethan.
No, I mean, this is your pick.
You don't want to be on this?
Well, no, I mean, it's your pick for up and coming. I don't know enough to give that kind of advice, but
I would put money down on
Jair Rodriguez. I should try it. Stop trying to roll the R's. Rodriguez.
Yar Rodriguez.
I think it's like Jair, because in Mexico they pronounce the Y's with Jair. A J sound, like a light J. Jair.
I should probably just learn how to pronounce. I don't know why it's always everyone's names on who fights. I cannot pronounce their names.
For a big UFC fan, that's kind of
embarrassing.
How
sad. Sure.
But yeah, so we want to thank you guys for listening. Yeah. Ellie, how can they follow you or give feedback to you?
Oh, okay.
So like Twitter.
Oh, I'm like, what? So like on fan Twitter, mail.
On Twitter, where can they, like, what's your handle? So
oh,
that
okay.
They can follow you and get your updates.
Because
I send you a tweet
most
about
of my UFC
do.
Trash on Twitter. So if you want to follow me during a fight night and get all my hot takes, that's definitely where to go. Yeah, I'm on Twitter as Ellie Hampton 2. So.
Not yeah. Ellie Hampton 1.
Nope.
Because she's too cool for that.
Ah, that's better.
Yeah. Let me build you up. You're bad at this. Let me be your hype man.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, you can find her there. Make sure you stay tuned. Come back and we're going to make some more podcasts.
Yeah. Thanks for listening hopefully to the end.
Hopefully every week.
Yeah, hopefully.
But yeah, this has been the Ellie Hampton Show. We may change the name because Ellie isn't a huge fan of the name, but
it's too lame.
We may come up with
give
a different
me suggestions.
One.
I need.
Yeah, you can tweet your suggestions to Ellie at Ellie Hampton 2. But yeah, let us know. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Bye.